Welcome to the Spodcasters, the only online sports talk show devoted exclusively to University of Kansas athletics. I'm Kevin Romery, and while most of you might know me as the 6 News Sports Director, in my spare time, I'm a Spodcaster. Each week, you can join me, Journal World Sports Editor Tom Keegan, and show host Andy Samuelson on the Spodcasters at KUSports.com. We offer our creative takes on the latest developments in the KU sports world, plus we offer special guests such as Journal World KU basketball beat writer Gary Bedore, whose insight on the Jayhawk basketball world is unparalleled. Spodcasters, sports talk, online, anytime.
Welcome back to the Spodcasters. Andy Samuelson, the KU sports editor, joined by Tom Keegan to my left, Kevin Romery, DJ Wetter.
Hey, got the name right.
It's not plural today.
It's just one of me.
Well, got the name right. How about KU last night? Not getting it right.
No, the ladies love it, Tom.
Well, that was unbelievable. The enduring image, of course, will be Christian Moody standing there with 0.4 seconds left in regulation and missing 2 free throws, 3 for 8 on the night, under 50% for the year. But I've seen guys miss free throws to blow games. I have never seen the leading scorer on a team drive, which is what he's best at, and then at the last second throw a pass to a double-covered Darnell Jackson. Brandon Rush has got to get over that. We saw it at Arkansas. You give him a pass. It's one of the first games of his career. This was blatant. It was selfish. He called it unselfish after. No, it was selfish, and I'll tell you why it was selfish. It's like, this ain't going to be on me if we lose. Well, it was on him.
And it looked bad. I don't know. We watched it a couple times over here in the editing bay. I don't know when Darnell was open because he wasn't open when they made the pass. He certainly wasn't open when the ball got there. And even seconds before the play, he was never open ever, and of all people. I mean, who are you going to get it to last night? You know, you either want Mario to shoot it or Brandon to shoot it, and that's it. There is nobody else. Sure as heck is not going to be a Kansas big man. And to Darnell's credit, he played a fantastic game last night, but his role, crash the glass as soon as that shot goes up, whoever else takes it, so that you may be able to get a cheapie if it's missed.
And when you watch it or whatever, but
when you watch Rush on the drive, you see Chalmers clapping for the ball back. I mean, it looked like he wanted to be that go-to guy there.
Self says after the game that play was drawn up for Mario Chalmers to take the last shot. And if you watched, just watched the last 10 minutes of that game, Chalmers was ridiculous. He did miss a free throw late, but he was 2 of 2 earlier. He knocks down that 15-footer where he just gets jacked looking for the foul, and he still knocks down the fadeaway. I mean, that kid had ice water in his veins down the stretch, and the play designed for him. He doesn't get the ball. Screens aren't where they're supposed to be, and Brandon ends up with the ball. And Brandon jumps over everybody in the gym. We've seen him rebound week in and week out now, and he was above everybody with that shot. Just let it go. Fire it from 5 feet away, and
he was free.
Good Lord,
he had a look.
It was bizarre. How do you give that up? And Chalmers did have the ball, gave it to Rush, wanted it back immediately. Too bad Rush didn't give it back to him, although he ended up with a good shot. He just didn't take it.
But you said that was the play that was designed. But then after the game, you hear 2 or 3 different versions of this is what was supposed to happen. You know, this team has yet to close out a close game. And we've heard this before that, no, that play wasn't supposed to go here. It was supposed to do this. I mean, are these guys not listening, or what's going on in this?
I don't know.
And these huddles here.
Disturbing.
Yeah, Arkansas, and then last night. Mario, I talked to him, and he said, well, it was supposed to be a pick and roll, and I was supposed to get it to Darnell for a hook shot. All of a sudden, everybody's looking for Darnell. Am I missing something? Yeah, he played a good game.
The next hook shot Darnell takes will be the first one I've ever seen.
Kareem Abdul-Jackson.
You know, it reminds me. It reminds me
it's
of
good stuff.
It reminds me of the 93-94 football game against Nebraska, where June Henley had this massive game. Right, Kansas scores to make it 21-20. Nebraska's the number one ranked team in the nation. Glenn Mason going for 2. Absolutely. June Henley's not in the game. Well, the explanation after the game was all week long they had run a 2-point conversion play. That way, when it came to that situation, everybody knew what was supposed to go on. Everybody that was supposed to be in the game was in the game. There was no disputing who was supposed to get the ball and what the play was. They practiced it several times. Now, if you're head coach Bill Self in Kansas, maybe in practice you draw up 2 plays. You draw up a 2-point play, and you draw up a 3-point play. That way, when it gets in that situation, you've run it 100 times in practice, and there's no disputing what's supposed to happen.
Do you
think these guys are smart enough, though, as basketball players, that they're going to remember it? I'm starting to
wonder.
They were very questionable with a lot of their decisions. I thought Russell Robinson was too much on the attack mode when more clock should have been taken off there late in the game.
Well,
Christian Moody kind of settled them down.
The one quick trigger was the Brandon Rush one, and boy, did Christian Moody ever bail him out in that situation.
And then he slowed it back up.
He got the rebound, and then Christian pulled it out, faked a couple steps in. Everybody went in the inside. He turned around and did exactly what he was supposed to do. He fires it back outside to one of the guards, and then they took their time.
Well, here's even maybe a better or very similar situation with another Show Me State son. Robertson has a game of his life a couple years back against Kentucky. 31 points, comes down to the last second shot.
Passes it to Kenny Gregory.
Gets in the lane, looks like he's going up. Oh, dump down pass. And, I mean, you just wonder, like, you know, KU fans had to be thinking, some of them had to be thinking that.
Maybe it's a mentality. You know, the great players that want the ball at the end of the game, maybe you can't teach that. Maybe it's just the guys want it or guys don't. And maybe last night when Mario had his hands up clapping for the ball, maybe he's the guy on this team that is going to be that guy, but he hasn't had the opportunity yet.
He's already their second-best player to Rush.
And gaining fast.
In the last couple of games, he's better.
I think he surpassed Rush last night. Rush did not look like a guy who wanted the ball. He was once again a guy who could not go left. Boy, late in the second half, he got bailed out, went right, tried to come back left, and dribbled it off his foot and hit a Mizzou guy and went out of bounds. But Rush did not play a great game at all. In fact, a couple of his buckets come off, I think, Mario Chalmers' passes down low where he gets layups, at least one from Russell and one from Mario. So Rush, in a game where the crowd was on him all night. I was sitting down there. The crowd's right behind me as I'm shooting in that first half. And, boy, from SAT scores to Rush can't read. I mean, the chants were coming down at Brandon. He didn't handle all that well. And talk about his performance late in the game. He shoots a quick three. He has the foul on McKinney at the other end, make a two-point play, a three-point play. And he doesn't take the final shot, so a lot of frustration there. Mario Chalmers, on the other hand, knocking down threes when the team needs it, hitting twos inside the lane, and taking contact. And for a guy that's not that big in stature, boy, he can take some contact and still put up some pretty good shots.
He was definitely their best player last night, but on a consistent basis, you got to still rank Rush number one in Mario's
game. If you're grading the entire season, he's certainly been the best. But if you grade conference play so far, maybe not so much.
Right. Mario's been their best conference player. Good point.
You talk about performance. How about a spectacular performance by Thomas Gardner in an unbelievable zone? And, you know, you've seen this a few times in the past. Clarence Gilbert, Arthur Johns had the big game, but Gardner was hitting some tough shots. I mean, off-balance threes, just talk about
special one. I think his eight turnovers is an indication that KU didn't do that bad a job of harassing him. For most of the game, early on, they left him alone too much, but, you know, they were playing a box and one for a while with Hawkins on him. Rather see Robinson on him maybe, but they harassed him pretty good.
Well, that's the question. Kevin and I were talking about this, Tom, and who do you put on Gardner when he starts to light things up? The defense wasn't that bad. Late in the game, hands in Gardner's face on all those three. It's a one-footed three-pointer, as Bill Self called it, and he's got KU guys all over him, but boy, Gardner's a taller guy. Why not put a tall guy like Micah on? I know Micah doesn't play great defense, but at least make him shoot over somebody. He's not going to shoot over Hawkins or Chalmers or Robinson because they're all guys that are 3-4 inches smaller than Gardner.
Yeah, I think Micah Downs would have been a better candidate to cover him in the box and one than Jeff Hawkins. He wasn't in the game.
Well, if Jeff Hawkins is going to be in the game, according to head coach Bill Self, what's he going to do? He's going to be in there to play defense.
Right,
and so that was the assignment last night. And you know, I watched the game last night like a lot of other people did, and on the surface I thought, guard him. Somebody put a hand in his face. I went back and watched some of the highlights, get to do some things that the ordinary guy sitting at home does not get to do, and I started thinking,
man,
you know,
he hit some tough shots.
He's not really open a lot of these times. I mean, credit to Thomas Gardner. That guy knocked down some big shots. And you go back in that final minute 50 when Kansas had that 9-minute lead. You know, so many things have to happen. They really do, and everything has to be perfect. If Missouri misses one three-pointer that they chuck up there and Kansas gets the rebound in that whole sequence, it's over. No matter any of this other junk happens, and it's just over. You get one carom, and it's over, but it didn't happen. Everything lined up perfect. KU missed the exact number of free throws that had to happen to make the math work. Missouri hit the three-pointers when they needed to, and they got the last look. And
they got the biggest break and the free throws at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, poor Christian Moody. You know, if he hits the shot, he's the hero. He's a senior. It's his dream probably there at Missouri to be able to pull this off and do it. But then, you know, on the other end, he's not a very good free throw shooter. And he gets up there and a little shaky. And his free throw style's not too good to begin with. And what else do you say about this? But, you know, it never should have come down to that. I think everybody can agree on that. But teams that are good bail themselves out with weird plays, and that would have been the perfect bailout
It would have been, and it didn't happen. And really, a year from now, 10 years from now, when you're asked, what was the one Christian Moody moment you remember the most? I hate to say it. Unless he does something spectacular from here on in at some point, that's the moment.
Yeah, I had somebody talking to me today that said, gosh, I just feel so bad for Christian because, you know, his picture is plastered on the front of the paper and this and that. You know, it was such a big moment. And I said, you know, that just comes with the territory because if he makes that free throw, his picture's everywhere and he is the hero. I mean, and it was really an absolute no win or, you know, no lose situation for him at the time, because even if KU can come back and win in overtime, you forget about the free throws.
That's
the free throws
first.
Are not a big deal, but instead KU can't hang on in overtime. They give up a couple of cheap ones and then it's the big story.
Wasn't it last year the Memphis guy missed? Was it free throws?
Darius Miles Jr. Three free throws he had. He missed all three, and they would have gotten in the tournament.
In the tournament.
If he made one of the three.
So, I mean, it's obviously not an unprecedented ground, but
no.
It doesn't make it any easier for Christian.
The Jayhawks, though, and I'm doing a story on this tonight, the Jayhawks missed 5 of 10 free throws with under a minute remaining. And so you can't blame it all
those
on Christian.
Those are just two of the five.
Yeah, it's just two of the five right there. Chalmers misses a free throw, 1 of 2. Rush went 1 of 2 late, and Russell hit those big two free throws when Jayhawks are only up one.
So did Darnell.
Darnell, that was overtime, though, wasn't it? When Darnell comes in and knocks down two free throws. I think that was an overtime to get the Hawks the lead back. Maybe I'm wrong. But under a minute, it was Rush, Chalmers, Mario Chalmers, obviously, Russell Robinson and Moody who were at the line, and those four only combined to go 5 of 10. So, I mean,
brutal.
That is brutal, and the momentum swung. There were people leaving with 5 minutes left. Half the stadium was probably close to gone with 1 minute left, but the momentum swung when Moody missed those free throws. I think more fans came back into the gym than were there originally because it wasn't a sellout. It wasn't that impressive of a crowd at Mizzou Arena, but boy, in that overtime, that crowd, the momentum was gone. And I'll tell you what, there was no way KU was going to win that game in overtime. And I'm impressed they came back from that early 4-point deficit in OT because that game was over. The crowd had it done, and boy, I don't know how anybody, you know, could keep their right mind on that Kansas bench.
And you're right.
Insane.
The Jackson free throws were in overtime, and they were partially to come back and take the lead in overtime, which I agree with you, was a miracle after that 81-77 start.
And speaking of Jackson, Kevin asked me today, who's their best big man of the five?
Who is the best big man for Kansas right now?
That has to be Jackson.
Yeah, that's bottom. What I said.
He it's didn't even Jackson. Play 9 games. How is that possible that he can be ahead of Sasha and CJ?
Well, if you look at those three, though, just their backgrounds, none of them have played that much basketball, so they're all kind of maybe on the same level.
I'm not going to let CJ off the hook. His dad played big-time Division I college basketball and
but
beyond.
He didn't play much.
But all three of those are
it's funny because
same
learning curve. He's still not playing much.
And I rank CJ number 3 on that list. I think it goes
But last night, CJ was a little bit better last night. He had 7 points, I think, in about 15 minutes.
You know the points, though?
Yeah.
Did he create any of them?
Nope.
No, he can thank his guards for getting him wide open looks. I mean, just.
Well, let's look at the minutes last night. Let's look at the minutes of the five big men. He had Christian Moody with 35 minutes.
Out of 45.
Sasha Kahn started, played 9 minutes.
Foul trouble, though.
Three personals.
He picked up 2 in the first 3.5 minutes. And, you know, usually self, if you get 2 in the first half, you're sitting for the next 16, I think like 16:34 or something. He picked up his second, and he was done.
Julian Wright, 9 minutes. Darnell Jackson, 22 minutes. C.J. Giles, 15 minutes. Julian Wright's taken a step back. He's had some stomach issues, as self put it, the game against Kansas State. But you need to see him. He missed a wide-open 15-footer last night.
Stuttered a little bit. When he caught it, he wasn't sure if he wanted to shoot it. Then he realized he was open, and by then, you know it's bad news. If it's not the first one, don't shoot the double clutcher. Like, don't realize you're open after you get the ball. Realize you're open to want the ball so that when you catch it, you're ready to do something with it.
That's a good
and
point.
And he caught it and was not sure. And obviously from 15 feet, Julian's a pretty solid shooter. And I think he barely drew glass.
You got to believe he's going to be getting better. So
absolutely. Yeah, he will. But nine minutes, it's hard to get into a game when you're only playing 9 minutes, especially in that situation. I mean, I don't blame him for not necessarily being ready to go in that situation after only playing 9 minutes for the whole game.
And Mike Announce played 5 minutes. At least he played, and he got taken out after
first half minutes.
Yeah, first half minutes. Pretty early in the first half. he missed a wide open rebound that just fell right by him, and somehow he spaced out, and that was his opportunity, and his opportunity was gone then after that. Got to make the most of your opportunities, and I still think this team would be better if Micah Downs works his way into the rotation. His fingers weren't wrapped last night. That's a little progress.
Kind of funny how a difference a week makes, huh? Last week in Kentucky, Colorado, this team was probably playing as well as they have all season. Now two very, you know, questionable losses, just maybe because of the way they lost them at the end. Now there's talk about the NIT again. There's talk about the
Andy,
bubble.
That's a great point, but I'm tired of it. Boy, you wake up this morning, you look in the paper, you look at the message boards.
This
and
morning.
It's Bill Self last night. I mean, night coming home. On the, wow. I drove home 2.5 hours from Columbia, and it's, oh, Bill Self's job is on the line. Wake up,
people
Kansas
are crazy.
Fans. What a joke. I'm speaking to all the Kansas fans right now who want to write that or say that or talked about it today. What a joke. Because coming into the season, we were high as could be on Bill Self because look at the recruiting class. And Bill told us, he said in every press conference, in every article written, it's going to be up and down. It's going to be a roller coaster ride with these guys. And boy, has it. We knock off Kentucky by 27. KU knocks off Kentucky by 27. And now it's a, I said the we, I apologize.
I thought you got a mouse in your pocket?
I know, I went there, I apologize.
I thought he had 13 in that game.
I apologize, I did.
DJ has been recruited illegally.
I'm
their
free throw coach.
The boosters have been
at
the Wetter household.
That's the problem, I'm the free throw coach.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you know, KU is high as can be, and everybody's high on the team. And then this week, rivalry week, and they struggle through it. It's just another low. Get off the fire, he's on the line.
No, that's
forget
ridiculous.
That's,
the job's not
joke.
On the line. Come on, that's ridiculous. But this team has got to figure out how to win a close game
right. Because
they're not going to blow away enough opponents to make it to the tournament.
And there's not a lot of games left. They're going to have to get some wins here because their RPI is not good. And, I mean, if we're just talking tournament talk, I think it's not too early to wonder what are they going to have to do now to get in. You know?
Well, Joe Lunardi wrote an article on ESPN.com that the KU and UK are on the outside looking in. He made the case for the schools that shouldn't be in there, and he didn't put the names next to them. He just put the scenarios. And what
team
the
A,
RPI
Team B,
was,
right?
Team A and Team B put the scenarios of Team A did this, lost to this team, lost to this team, lost to this team. Team B got beat by Team A by 27 points. He said if the names of the schools weren't Kansas and Kentucky, we wouldn't even be considering these teams as NCAA teams at all.
Hey, it'd be a good first-round NIT matchup. No.
Where would we play it? Because the home team. You get to play at home in the NIT, which would be good for us. We wouldn't have to travel in March for the first time in about 1,500 years.
Yeah, how big a crowd would they have for that?
Yeah,
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We've been to a women's game lately.
But here's the deal. The next 11 games, I think there's 11 games left or 10 games left before we go down. What's with me and we today? Good Lord. Before KU goes down to
DJ
Texas.
Actually was on the team bus last night on the way back. Had dinner with the team, and he went to post game, and we actually interviewed you, I think.
Free throw coach, DJ Weather. There are 10 games or 11 games left. I think it was 11 before the Missouri game that KU has left before they go down to Texas. And all those games are winnable games, but they're also games that the Hawks could lose. And that's the deal this year. KU could beat any team in the nation, and I believe that on a good note. Good night, they could knock off Duke if they played their game. They're that talented, and I believe that. But on any given night, they could lose to Bucknell at home in Allen Fieldhouse.
Did you just say beat Duke?
I think
DJ's
so.
DJ's been drinking in the afternoon, I think, today. Although, here's a good question, though. Is KU better than Kansas State from top to bottom?
Yes.
Agreed or sweet. KU better than Missouri top?
Yes.
Well, like you said. We could probably say that for how many more opponents ahead. And the bottom line is
Nebraska.
Being better is obviously not enough right now. You got to win one of these close ones. I don't think anybody would argue that Missouri's a better team or K-State's a better team. I think we all feel better about that,
but all
winning
the,
these things, winning these things.
And look at the games they've lost. None of the, all those opponents right now are starting to drop. I mean, they're not giving you any help. It's not a quality loss when you're losing. Yes.
You mean under 500 St. Joseph's?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're 6-7 now. Not looking good, Kentucky. Man, size they're laying pterodactyl eggs now.
I mean, California.
They're terrible right
California
now.
California is the only win, really. It's a quality win.
That's right it.
And you only have 9 Division I wins. Don't forget that.
That's true.
9-6, and none of those 15 games are against teams that are now in the top 25. And it's not like you got a ton of games left against opponents. In
no.
Because Oklahoma, I haven't been voting for them for the top 25. They got top 25 talent. But do they really deserve to be up there? No, not right now.
Does that make Texas the last possible quality win on the Kansas schedule?
Well, you know, whether RPI would look at it that way, when you win in Stillwater, that would be a quality win if they could do that. That's a tough one. Ames, they've always had trouble winning in Ames.
Nebraska ball on the road, maybe.
Yeah, well, they got to sweep Nebraska.
But how do you consider? I mean, yeah, you got to say that, but if they're not winning at home against K-State, how can they go to where they've had trouble winning at Ames and Lincoln and win?
You remember the Seinfeld opposite?
Oh, yeah.
This is the opposite, yeah.
I know about Seinfeld now. The Bizarro Jayhawks, huh?
Not good last night. Just, you know, as fans and as people that follow this team, Keegan, you said this earlier, sooner or later they're going to win one of these. Then what? You know, will it be too late by then? Will they have suffered through too many of these setbacks that in games that they should have won in order to get into the tournament? And I think, truth be told, for this team, I think the best thing in the world is find a way to get into the tournament, have a decent Big 12 tournament, and just play a game or two. You know, let these kids get in there and at least play a game in the tournament, even if they're an 8, 9, 10 seed in the first round, and you lose that game. And then next year, you're looking at 3, 4, 5 seed, and then if these guys stick around, then you're back to where they were a couple years ago.
Let me pose this question, and any of you true Jayhawk fans, earmuff me on this one maybe. What if they don't get in the tournament? What if they go to the NIT? Would that be such a bad thing? I mean, I know people might be slicing their wrist out there, but, you know, would there be some motivation? Would there be, you know, they make a run in the NIT? Could that benefit them more than a first-round tournament loss?
It's too early to even face that. So you
just throwing it out there.
No, what would benefit them more would be in the tournament because
agreed.
Then you get that environment and you're used to it. Anytime you do something,
you get
it's
the taste.
Easier the second
you're like,
time.
This is where we belong. We're playing at a big-time venue on national TV. Look at all the people that are here. Look at everybody that is here to come see us play. You go to the NIT, at Allen Fieldhouse, more dopey home games. What does that serve the purpose of?
But you look at the top teams, Duke, Carolina, it hasn't been that long ago that they did not get in. It's bound to happen someday, just like a lot of these streaks.
Well, Duke didn't get in because Coach K caught the Ebola virus or whatever he had for that one year, and he couldn't coach.
Yeah, you know what I think
Carolina had? But, you know, it's all funny, though. You know, you mentioned this. The downside came for Duke when their coach was not there. Carolina's downside came when their coach left, when Dean retired, and they went through a bunch of changes, and now the same thing is happening. It's, you know, it's the transition in between these things. You know, people want to talk about the players and this and that, but it's the transition period in between those coaches in all the cases.
Are you saying Coach Self is a transitional coach?
No, I'm not saying no. Well, Coach K came back and it was fine. What I'm saying is during his transition, though, those years will not be good until he has established his program, and we're still another year or so away from that.
And so that's a great point, and here's one name that illustrates that, Padgett. Because Padgett left and said, yeah, I'm coming back. When he left for, I guess, it was a break or something, whatever it was, or he said, I'm coming back. Self took his word on that and passed on J.P. Batista, who's one of the better big men in the country at Gonzaga. Now, if he had never inherited Padgett from Roy, he gets Batista. Batista's that go-to big man for him right now.
And he'd have been happy here?
Yeah, and a lot of these losses would have been wins. So that is traced directly to the transition period.
But, you know, let's not write him off yet. I did throw the NIT out there. I'm sorry.
You were throwing KU.
Don't get my
bus.
Address out there.
You're throwing the Hawks under
but
the bus right now.
They could go another 7-win streak like they did before and be right back into it, no problems. But you got to look at those wins and who they're against. And it's becoming crunch time.
Here's the bottom line, though, and I believe this, is that Kansas has a name historically that means something to the tournament committee.
Oh, you can't keep relying on that. They got to beat people.
They do, but if it comes down to a bubble situation, no.
There's so much scrutiny here, though. When you come down to a bubble,
what a
you're
joke.
Talking about – That's not. If anything, that buys you one win.
Yeah, I mean, they're not.
If it comes down
they
got to
win
bubble
seven.
Situation, and you're going to take
Utah Valley State, the number two from a conference that's 25-5. Or are you going to take a bubble Kansas team?
Money, as Mark Mangino famously said. What is it about, Tom Keegan?
Well, now you're talking NIT. If Utah Valley State has an RPI of 34 and Kansas has one of 134. Utah Valley State is going, and Kansas is watching.
You're insane. If it comes down to two final teams, and the name is Kansas or any other
team. Well, what do you mean by comes down? But if the other team has a much stronger portfolio, better wins, not as bad of losses, that team is going. Don't rely on that.
You can't rely on it.
Furthermore,
I'm not relying on it.
You don't want that. If you're a Kansas, you don't. Maybe you want it to get in, but if you're a fan, you don't want that. You don't want Kansas to need a crutch.
Well, it's getting hot here in Spodcasters.
Well, hey, you know, you say a crutch, but they've earned that over the last 100 years of
no,
playing basketball.
Have not. No, they have not.
15 straight
trips
to the NCAA tournament
you don't,
does not
that
earn
does
you
that? Not earn you a 16, by the way. and they're going for 17 this year. It doesn't earn you 17. It has nothing to do with it. It all has to be based on what they do this year.
Well, it's is that the way it is?
It should be, I believe.
Then why are there polls out there? Why do they even put those things out there ever in any sport then?
Why?
What does the poll mean then?
What do you mean? I'm talking
like the regular poll, like the poll you vote for and put in our paper every week. Why do you vote then? Because, that's just going to distract people, right? You should just go straight with the RPI thing then, correct?
No. I'm not saying it's all RPI. I'm saying it's all this season. It's not what you've done in previous seasons. That's got nothing to do with it.
I want you to boycott next year in voting for the first preseason poll. How do you vote?
That's not voting. I can tell you the top 10 names.
I can tell you the top 10.
That's based on the names of
Duke,
players.
North Carolina. Who else is in there?
Gonzaga, maybe?
Come on.
You know, the early season, the preseason poll, it's pretty meaningless.
I see what you're saying, but I don't buy it. I mean, it's so off.
It's not fair. Off. If Creighton has a better season than Kansas, then Creighton goes to the tournament, period. Don't think you can rely on the name Kansas.
I see it both ways. I agree with both.
I'm saying in a perfect world, I understand what you're saying. We're dealing with the NCAA, an organization that can't even follow its own rules, much less rules.
Listen, the NCAA has spent half of its manpower this year going after all these secondary violations of Kansas. Tying up, is Rush eligible? Isn't he? Is Jackson eligible? Isn't he? You think they're going to give him a break?
You know, it's a joke. It's a joke. Either he is or he's not. Once you make him eligible, it's done. You had your chance to try him in court. Double jeopardy rule. Dollar signs. I don't know. OJ, he's innocent.
Whoa. I don't even know what to say.
Ridiculous.
We got to talk. They got to get 9 more wins before they're even a bubble team to consider. That's the bottom line.
Well, yeah.
Because that puts them at 18 wins. That makes you a bubble team, right? Four teams, I think.
Right. And if Mario Chalmers continues this improvement, which it looks like maybe the last thing to come around for him is the three-point shot.
Hey, DJ's got to leave for practice today, so we'll talk to you later.
Wee is rolling out.
Go shoot some free throws.
I got to take off. Have fun. I'm going to go shoot free throws. I apologize.
This is a crazy day.
But yeah, Mario is
Podcaster Studio.
I think you're right. I think he's... It's amazing the steps he took. You know, he was baby step, step back, step back. Out of nowhere, he took about 5 steps forward in the last 2 weeks. Something clicked with him. All of a sudden, the game, slow motion.
Yeah.
He's
everything's better in slow motion.
And you're more aggressive.
If you follow me. And he, man, he just off the dribble, running with the ball, just making passes. Everything all of a sudden just looks real easy to him. And it happens when the games get more intense, usually at a time now where, like Brandon Rush, I think the reason he's kind of stalled right now, you got the crowd noise. You're actually playing road games. You got people that are paying attention to him. You got conference games. Now, things get a little bit ugly, but Mario has stepped into that and he's just been fine.
Also, Mario's such a creative player. He's not like he's an easy guy to scout because he has a lot of different things he does with the basketball. Brandon, you're finding that they've scouted him. They know how to stay on that right hand and not fall for the bait when he quickly goes to his left. Then you shift as a defender, and he goes right back to his right. Now they're not shifting with him. They're staying on his right hand. It's getting a little tougher for him. So it's going to be interesting to see. It always goes back to the freshman. Can Julian Wright get back to where he was and then some? Can he take the steps forward that Chalmers has taken? And can Downs make the most of his limited opportunities so his opportunities increase?
And Brandon, I think, made the mistake in postgame the other day when asked what the other defense did to stop him. What was his answer, very honestly?
They stayed on my right hand.
They stayed on my right hand and made me go left. Now, okay, if he admitted it, what is every other coach in America about to do to him?
And what did Self say when asked, why isn't he ready to be the go-to guy? Well, he's just young. He's very general and nonspecific. He never mentioned
the left hand or lack thereof. Brandon just threw it right out there for us.
How about Russell Robinson last night? He almost has a triple-double, probably gets lost in the stats. 12 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah.
12, 7, and 8, yeah.
You know, in the game before, he tried to take over there late in the K-State game.
And he was perfect from the foul line. Yikes. Get him the ball late, please.
So clearly, much like Chalmers, he's really been solid, even though he...
He's been solid. He's been better. But he's not a real good shooter.
Yeah.
That's his bugaboo, and I don't know if he ever will be a real good
shooter.
Kind
of reminds you of Aaron Miles. Quite frankly, the way he's playing right now.
Not as good a passer.
Not as good, but he's been a really solid distributor of the basketball, does a little bit of rebounding, does some of the dirty work, is one of your best defenders. just doesn't really shoot the ball great. And last night, the 0-for-4 from long range.
See, I think that he doesn't necessarily shoot the three all that well, but I think, you know, the mid-range jumper, he hit a couple late ones last night, and getting to the glass, you know, maybe he's just trying to do too much from the outside. I think he's a pretty decent shooter, maybe inside the arc.
And once in a while, you question his decision-making.
Yeah.
He attacks a little bit too much as a would-be scorer who ends up getting his shot blocked a lot.
But overall, no complaints on Russell.
Solid.
Absolutely none. I mean, we're just nitpicking here, but he's been
third best player on the
him,
team.
Him getting it together first was what started to turn this thing around a little bit a few
right.
weeks ago. He was the first guy to really get the turnovers going down, and his progress has now sped up the progress of Mario.
Yeah, I buy that definitely. And Mario last night was handling it more and running the show more of a point guard than he has been in recent
games.
He
just didn't look like he was in a hurry. Early
right.
in the season, he looked like he was in a hurry, and now just taking his time, surveying the court, checking out what he needs to do.
Is it
nice
maybe
moves.
Time to cut a couple people out of this rotation, do you think?
Well,
he just
who?
Did.
Well,
Mike,
I mean,
Mike is gone, and
but he's still getting a chance to come in there.
All right, the big men. Who do you want to cut out? Are you talking Hawkins or who?
Yeah, well, let's talk big men. There's five big men. Obviously, not a lot of them are doing much right now. Is it time to just be like, hey, let's go with Darnell and cut out one of those other two, or is it too early to do that?
The problem with that is none of them seem to be consistent. Darnell has been so far, but
Does it take you half of a game to realize which big man's on that night? I mean, that kind of sounds like it's a bad deal.
Yeah, sometimes it does. It is kind of a bad deal, but okay, who do you cut out? Do you want to cut out C.J. Giles when he can block shots the way he does, when he can run the floor the way he does? Can you cut him out?
No, I think what you do is you just try to think of those guys as one guy.
Yeah.
You just mold them into one guy, and when one of them looks tired or gets into foul trouble, pop him out of there, put somebody else in. He's the same guy. I mean, you're not going to run your offense any differently no matter who's in there.
Right.
I mean, you're not posting up Sasha ever. You're not posting up CJ. He's not in a good position. They're in there to get rebounds, maybe get fouled a couple times, shoot a couple free throws, try to get an offensive board and lay it back in. But you're not changing the plays of the offense. And the offense is going through Mario, Russell, and Brandon anyway. It doesn't change that much, I don't think.
So have we seen enough where one of those big guys, I mean, you know, maybe the most you can expect out of him is 15? I mean, none of those guys seem like they're going to bust out for 20 and have a career game and just dominate.
I don't know if we know Julian Wright yet. Do we really know who he is and what he's capable of?
Well, maybe not Wright, but of the true big men.
Well, yeah, Moody had 18 against
I mean, yeah, you take out the 18, his career highs last night.
You really take out
those free throws, and we wouldn't be talking a lot of the stuff we're talking about right now.
True story.
How about Nebraska? What a, you know, 0-for-3 in a row would not be a good thing for this team.
And Nebraska's playing very good right now. That's going to be a tough team. They've got some decent players, guys. We've seen Joe McRae, who KU fans probably hate, Jason DeRusso, some of those guys. I mean, they've got some talent. It's here, thank goodness, but we thought that against K-State as well.
And in this respect, they're kind of like K-State. They seem to get good shots every game. It's just a question of whether they're shooting well that particular game. And K-State against Kansas was hitting shots.
And, you know, KU, I think, a little bit unlucky in the last two games in the fact that you catch Missouri on a down note, ready to rebound after losing at home to Colorado. You catch K-State after looking so good, having its down game against Nebraska. So you've kind of caught some of these teams on the downhill slide, ready to bounce back, and these teams have. They've bounced back. They didn't continue down.
But Missouri also caught Kansas on the downhill slide
Absolutely.
After losing to K-State, and they looked like they had bounced back until the utter collapse at the end of the game.
But Kansas has had 9-point leads in both those games late.
Wow.
Hasn't been a nine-pointer.
Yeah. I don't know how you explain a 9-point lead in a minute 50. That's a tough one to do.
Or even 7 and 39 seconds.
Just saying that, you know, you miss free throws for the entire stretch. I mean, that's as simple as that.
So are free throws like field goals, Tom? You play the whole game and it comes down to a kicker or a couple free throws to win it?
Field goals. Yeah.
So could we do that, though? Can we have a designated free throw shooter on the end of the bench so that if somebody got fouled like a kicker, we could just throw him out there at the end?
Well, a lot of people want to.
Christian have
hey,
come down,
sure.
Maybe
yeah,
Christian,
make special rules for Kansas. You want to make special rules in the selection committee?
I'm not making the rules. I'm just being a realist here. When the committee sees Kansas versus Utah Valley State, what are their memories of the NCAA tournaments? I guarantee it's not Utah Valley State cutting down the net.
Now, do you think the
soon.
Committee is well-versed enough on NCAA hoops to know that there is no such school as Utah Valley
State? I doubt it. I absolutely doubt it. Have you seen the knuckleheads running that show? Have you seen some of the selections they've made in the past, leaving teams out?
I love their explanations, too. well, why did you pick so-and-so over so-and-so? We felt that so-and-so was more deserving. And then CBS, which is in cahoots with him, never asked the follow-up question, why?
Exactly. You know why? Dollar signs. It is simple. I mean, the NCAA is not an organization. It's a business to make money.
They still have to answer, though. They still have to answer.
To what? To who? What are you going to do? If the answer is we didn't pick you, Kansas, what's K going to do? Pull out of the NCAA? What is a choice?
But they don't want to get blasted from coast to coast.
No, they get blasted
show favoritism.
Anyway. Yeah, they get blasted anyway. That's true. And what has it changed? Nothing hasn't changed.
But
their
selections are pretty fair.
There's no
they
AFL.
Really,
you know, AFL to go to. You know, maybe they can form
minor
their own
basketball
collegiate organization and leave
NAIA.
The NCAA.
But don't you think they're pretty fair? I mean, you can forecast up to – I know guys who – last year I got 64 out of 65 just based on what I thought was the most fair selection. So I don't think they play a lot of favoritism.
No, I don't. But what I'm just simply the point is when it comes down to a committee, if the schools are pretty equal,
yeah.
I'd rather be the Kansas than the little dinky school.
Well,
we're
talking pretty equal.
And at this point, it's not real equal because Kansas is – not even. Oh my gosh!
Look who just walked
through the door. Look who has walked through the door. The one, the only, the ultimate authority on KU basketball. None other than the man who has been the beat writer for the Lawrence Journal World for the last 20 years. None other than gum chewing Gary Bedore.
Gary is by far the best free throw shooter in our department.
I was a great free throw shooter.
I'll take you on any day. We'll have a contest, Gary.
I'm nervous.
I could hit him. I don't know if I still can. I haven't done it in a while, but I liked free throws because I went out there every day and did the same thing.
Yeah.
What was your routine, Gary?
I bounced it twice, flipped it in the hands, shot it, never missed, and then in college, senior year, intramurals, couldn't hit one. It was gone, and I don't know what.
Now for your routine.
Same experience.
Now
Did you look at the rim the whole time you were dribbling, or did you look at the floor while you were dribbling?
I never looked at the rim when I did the flip. I just shot it.
Well, my routine was three dribbles the whole time looking at the rim.
Really?
One time made 48 out of 49 alone without a rebounder at the YMCA. No,
not
no
a
Mizzou witnesses.
Arena, no fans.
No.
No antlers.
No witnesses more important.
Hey, I'm not going to lie to you. I tried to get a glass every time.
Andy Sam's a banker. Yeah, I was solid in my free throw shooting days, but I didn't really have much on the line. You know, there's that junior high game against Arlington Lamar or whoever it was back in the day. I can't even remember who those teams were, but not quite as much on the line. That's for sure. I want to say three dribbles, looking down, looked at the rim, spun it in my hand one time, and then let it go. But it's like, you know, when you're putting, what do you look at when you're getting ready to putt?
Boy, that's a good.
You don't
question.
Look at the you don't look at the cup, do you?
I look at the
no,
ball.
You look at the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll tell you one thing.
Science. I don't know. Physics
beats me. I would
have missed
those free throws just like Moody did. Yeah.
It was pretty loud in there.
There's a good chance I would have never gotten fouled and even gotten to attempt free throws.
Gary, the final play there. Chalmers told me it was a pick and roll where he's supposed to pass it to Darnell Jackson for a hook shot. That shocked me. Rush told you it was for him, right?
Yeah, Rush said I should have took the shot like it was drawn up for me.
And
Bill Self
said that there was a screen for Mario to shoot a three to win it, which seemed to me the most logical play. But when that broke down, he passed it to Rush. I was calling back for it. To me, I've seen guys miss free throws. I've never seen the leading scorer on a team pass up a shot, a driving shot, the way Brandon Rush passed it up last night.
It was crazy. It was you couldn't believe that he threw it over to Darnell Jackson. I don't know if he even knew Darnell was over there. He says he did, and he says he thought Darnell would have been able to I forget how he worded it, slide to the rim or something. But I got to wonder if he just saw the rim and said, I don't want this, and threw it to whoever blue jersey he saw. I don't know why he did it. It's probably freshman.
We're talking that dunk.
20 years old, freshman mistake,
that dunk he had against Colorado. If he elevates that high, he could have just thrown it down, you know?
Could have finger-rolled it from about 15 feet.
Yeah. Another thing that we're also maybe haven't brought up yet is 2 seconds left. Last year, a very similar play versus Bucknell. They get the perfect shot off against Bucknell, a shot that Simeon's probably been hit his whole life, misses it. Last night, 2 seconds, you see Chalmers trying to run down, but Darnell inbounds it to Robinson right there, and Robinson can only heave it from three-quarters court.
Right. Lead Chalmers with a pass. He can catch up to it and throw – shoot a 30-footer instead of a 60-footer.
I guess these are the kind of things that a young team is going to do.
My statement was going to be, last year you mentioned the play. Do you remember who threw it in?
Michael Lee, right?
On what year was he?
Senior.
And who caught it?
We all know.
He's a senior. This year, you got a sophomore throwing it into a sophomore, a freshman. And Fran Fraschilla was right on top of it last night. He didn't finish his thoughts when he said it, but he said, "Don't touch it yet, Darnell, don't touch it," because if he touched it, that would have started the five-second count, which would have given those KU guys less time to get down across midcourt.
And he touched it a little too soon.
Yeah. And when he touched it, he didn't just take it and kind of walk back and go across the line. Usually the officials will give you time to go out on the court and then walk back, and then they'll start their count. So if he'd done that, taking his time and just picked up and turned around and walked back, the count wouldn't have
made
started.
Basket. He could also run the.
And he could have run it. And then he could have looked for somebody down there. And obviously, if you're going to throw it down there, the guy you're going to look for is the guy that can jump over everybody.
Rush.
Brandon's the kind of guy that you never know. He could jump up, make a catch, and then with a real quick hop, at least get, you know, it's a miracle either way, and you don't expect it. But at least put yourself in the position to win and be successful. And last night, the Jayhawks didn't even put themselves in the position to do that.
Freshmen and sophomores.
Exactly.
And in some cases, don't appear to be real smart basketball players.
So far. And in the past, though, let's not be too hard on those guys. Because I was around when Nick, Drew, and Kirk were freshmen. They looked real dumb, too. You know, when they arrived, they looked real dumb. And like this class, they did not have seniors and juniors to rely upon. Now, Aaron, Keith, and Wayne looked a lot smarter, didn't they? Well, that was because they had the three older guys to help them out. And this team doesn't have anybody to help them out. And I promise you that the Kirk, Nick, and Drew, boy, that year, Kirk looked terrible. He was a bad shooter, was out of control, turnovers left and right. Drew, Hurricane Drew is what Roy used to call him, right?
Yeah.
That was his nickname. And Nick, I think he was a foul per minute guy. He'd play like 9 minutes in a game and foul out. He was never in there. I mean, he could not stop fouling people. So when you put that in perspective to this year's team, you just got to be, you know, you got to remember what this team went through to get where it was. But people now, they don't remember the process and the journey. They just remember the final result, and that's why the fans are so fickle.
That's why. How good would this team be with Giddens, Padgett, and Wilkes?
Those would be in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Or Kansas fans, really, just look a little earlier this year. Look at the football team. Oklahoma, Kansas State, back-to-back losses. Probably the same type of feeling right now. Oh, the world, you know, Jayhawks fans, the sky has fell. And look with that little adversity.
That's a good point.
Things started to come together. They found a quarterback. They rallied around those two losses. They got to a bowl game when no KU fan after those 2 weeks thought
us
anything.
Included.
Yeah, none of us.
We weren't booking our tickets anywhere.
No way.
We were making Christmas plans to go see families about that time.
We're gonna go to Utah.
And we got sidetracked by Brian Luke coming off the bench and beating Iowa State. Gary, of course, Saturday's a victory over Nebraska. Certainly, even you would have to admit that.
Yeah, but I mean, today I will predict that Iowa State will beat Nebraska tonight. Do you guys think so?
Yeah, I would think so.
Where is that game?
It's in Lincoln, though.
I still like Iowa State in that game.
We're going out of the limb here, but I'll take Iowa State.
I'll take Nebraska
if
then.
If Nebraska does win tonight, you would think Saturday's game is going to be another close one. They're not going to blow out Nebraska, folks. And will KU win one at the wire this time?
Sooner or later, they have to, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say the Jayhawks will beat Nebraska, but
you know,
if Iowa State beats them tonight, as I expect, you know, Nebraska might start to be lowering itself. But what if Nebraska wins tonight?
You know, Kevin pointed out, Gary, looking at back at some of these losses for KU, St. Joe's is under 500 now.
Yeah,
how about that? Damn. It's not like these teams are tearing
Arkansas
it up.
Arkansas is 1-2 in the league, I believe.
Yeah, Chet Stokitis looked like he played for a better than a 6-7 team when he played Kansas, didn't he?
Yeah. And they played Gonzaga really well, too, right after.
I think
after
Chet Stokitis was in Thomas Gardner's body last night, actually, come to think of
it. Gardner is going to have to come out just intense every single game, and I don't know if this team can do that, because if they don't, they're going to drop more and more games. And if they want to get a bid or whatever, they're going to have to play all out. And can this team do that? I don't know.
They got enough depth to do it. I mean, five big men for two spots.
Yeah.
So, certainly have the depth.
But again, you combine those five big men, and how many do you really get?
That's one and a half.
Yeah. One and point something.
It's amazing. Last night, Darnell Jackson hits two clutch free throws. Russell Robinson hits two clutch free throws. But how many guys bricked him?
Oh, I mean, it's just a crazy season. Yeah, we talked about that earlier. It is weird.
But then you know DJ was protecting Self for the job. But you look at the free throws, Roy and Self. It's just how come they can't hit the free throws? They hit a few more back against Syracuse, and
it's
they
the
were
building. It's in the air.
They win a national title last night. You know they probably win that game. There's been other scenarios. Yeah. Just the last few years, is this a trend in college basketball that people can't hit free throws, or is this more at Kansas, or just kind of?
Well, I've never seen the connection between a coach and free throw shooters. It's not like you can turn a bad shooter into a good one really this late in life. So I don't think that's it. They're ninth in the Big 12 in free throw shooting. So even if it is a college trend where it's going down.
Players just don't practice it today. Do free throws. The only time this season a free throw would have been on ESPN was last night. They show it on SportsCenter.
But like we were talking.
Down. But other than that, guy scores 38 points in a game. If he got fouled 19 times and made all 38 free throws, and that's how he scored his 38, they'd show the three dunks on the three guys that scored 3 points apiece, and the free throws don't make it.
Yeah. Or is it the curse of Will Chamberlain?
That was the trade-off.
The one thing he couldn't do.
It was the curse of Danny Manning.
But you're saying
their soul to win a title in 88, and the free throws have been defunct ever since.
So no coach would say, hey, practice. You know, that's a fundamental part of the game.
No, they do practice it, yeah. But, I mean, geez, I've often heard that. Oh, you blame the coach for free throws. I've never, ever, ever gotten that.
Doesn't shoot
him,
does he?
No.
No, you can't blame
him. You can blame the coach for bad recruiting, maybe bad style of play, disorganization in the program. You know,
but in high school, if you're not hitting free throws, you know, in practice, you're running. You know, is that just something that doesn't translate the next level?
They probably do that.
Yeah, they've been using the treadmill for all kinds of mistakes, and I'm sure they're using them for free throws too, at practice. So,
like those field goals, I'm telling you, how many games come down to the free throws? I'm
telling you, man, you need a designated. Christian Moody should have come down last night holding his wrist.
Oh, we needed somebody to come and shoot him.
Who's on the bench? You look
Micah.
Down there. Yeah, he hadn't been a very good free throw shooter this year. If you look at his stats,
really?
Take a look. Yeah, he's not great from the line. We got
probably
it right here
tried
somewhere.
To bank it
Jeremy,
that's what I was saying.
Gary. Season,
bank that.
Mike is only 55%. You don't want him at the line.
How about Jeremy Case?
Jeremy Case.
Has he ever gotten fouled?
Nope. His next free throw will be the first one. Steven Vinson, 7 of 8, 88%.
There you go.
He makes one of two.
He makes them both.
He makes one of two. Second one doesn't matter. You miss it on purpose so that Missouri can't throw it the length of the floor and let you get the rebound time expires.
I will say I'd never seen a team blow a lead like that late. Not mathematically. I don't know if you guys have. I've never seen a mathematical 7 points in 39, 5 points in 25, was it?
When Jason Williams did that against Maryland a couple years back.
It's
probably
it was like 11
And that was
lead,
just, he was,
it?
Yeah, he was just.
He got a steal, hit a three, Then they missed two free throws, another three, and it was on.
Just
you
about
always
ever.
Wonder if teams will blow those kind of leads.
The answer is yes.
They always hit just enough free throws to do it. But Gardner was going to throw in the three every time.
Yeah.
McKinney was going to throw in two and one.
And how about that play by McKinney to get the ball back to Gardner? When you were saying everything went their way, it looked like the ball was going out of bounds. He rifles that pass.
Like a bullet.
Yeah, Gardner goes in and gets fouled. I mean, just a lot of stuff was going the right way there.
Bad karma.
And another good play by McKinney to foul Moody.
Yeah.
Moody got so open. Chalmers got him the ball. Last second there, he fouled him hard enough to where he didn't get a bucket. And
he deserves,
we saw what happened.
Save the game.
Yep.
At the time, you're thinking, uh-oh, if you're Missouri. And then it turns out it's the best thing in the world to do.
Great foul. Clutch.
Does that win keep Quinn's job?
Not that win, but
and if it
certainly
does, this was all part of the Kansas plan.
Oh, yeah.
All part of the Kansas plan. If you beat Missouri bad, Quinn gets fired. Maybe they bring in a coach that really knows what he's doing over there. John Calipari. We had this conversation last week. Instead, Quinn maybe keeps
one of the greatest
job.
Comebacks in Missouri history. Coach is going to get fired. Kansas State fans stay an hour after the game in Allen Fieldhouse to celebrate. Coach is going to get fired. Welcome to college basketball.
Bill Self will not get fired at the end of the year.
Of course he won't.
That's Gary Bedore, optimistic as usual.
Bringing us down.
Two of the biggest victories are their fans, and their coaches are going to get fired. How sad.
This is the life you've chosen.
You hate to see it.
All right, well, this is a historical episode of Spodcasters for us, the longest one yet.
Wow.
So thanks to our
90 minutes?
Man, I hope not.
Longer than that last minute and 35.
No. Long enough possible. Long enough to score 9 points and make up a 9-point deficit in a buck 50.
Thanks to Journal World sports editor Tom Keegan, Six Sports director Kevin Romery,
yo,
DJ Weather, who was in here earlier, but you know, had to go shoot some free throws.
Yes.
And the man, the myth, the legend, Gary Bedore.
Good.
Thanks for coming in here late, Jeeves.
All right.
he could not so be more cool. excited to be here.
He is so cool.
And I'm Andy Samuelson, and we'll see you next time.
Like what you just heard? Then spread the word about the Spodcasters. It's sportscasting meets podcasting on your computer. No iPod? No problem. You can still get the Spodcasters online. Just point your mouse to kusports.com, click on the Spodcasters logo in the right column, then kick back and listen. Spodcasters, sports talk, online, anytime.